Chapter 17. How Germanus the Bishop, sailing into Britain with Lupus, first quelled the tempest of the sea, and afterwards that of Pelagians by divine power. 429 A.D. Some few years before their arrival, the Pelagian heresy, brought over by Agricola, the son of Severnius, a Pelagian bishop, had corrupted with its foul taint the faith of the Britons. But whereas they absolutely refused to embrace that perverse doctrine, and blaspheme the grace of Christ, yet were not able of themselves to confute the subtlety of that unholy belief by force of argument. They bethought them of wholesome counsels, and determined to crave aid of the Galcian prelates in that spiritual warfare. Hereupon these, having assembled a great synod, consulted together to determine what persons should be sent thither to sustain the faith. And by unanimous consent, choice was made of the apostolic prelates Germanus, Bishop of Auxerre, and Lupus of Troyes, to go into Britain to confirm the people's faith in the grace of God. With ready zeal they complied with the request and commands of the Holy Church and put to sea. There on a sudden they are obstructed by the malevolence of demons, who were jealous that the men of such eminence and piety should be sent to bring back the people to salvation. They raised storms and darkened the sky with clouds. The sails could not support the fury of the winds. The ships sped safely with favoring winds till they were halfway between the coast of Gaul and Britain. There on a sudden they are obstructed by the malevolence of demons, who were jealous that the men of such eminence and piety should be sent to bring back the people to salvation. They raised storms and darkened the sky with clouds. The sails could not support the fury of the winds. The sailors' skill was forced to give way. The ship was sustained by prayer, not by strength, and as it happened, their spiritual leader and bishop, being spent with weariness, had fallen asleep. Then, as if because resistance flagged, the tempest gathered strength, and the ship, overwhelmed by the waves, was ready to sink. Then the blessed Lupus and all the rest, greatly troubled, awakened their elder, that he might oppose the raging elements. He, showing himself the more resolute in proportion to the greatness of the danger, called upon Christ. Divine help was granted. The enemies were put to flight. A cloudless calm ensued. The winds veering about set themselves again to forward their voyage. The sea was soon traversed, and they reached the quiet of the wished-for shore. A multitude flocking thither from all parts received the bishops, whose coming had been foretold by the predictions even of their adversaries. For the evil spirits declared their fear, and when the bishops expelled them from the bodies of the possessed, they made known the nature of the tempest and the dangers they had occasioned, and confessed that they had been overcome by the merits and authorities of these men. In the meantime, the bishops speedily filled the island of Britain with the fame of their preaching and miracles, and the word of God was by them daily preached, not only in the churches, but even in the streets and fields, so that the faithful and Catholic were everywhere confirmed, and those who had been perverted accept the way of amendment. Like the apostles, they acquired honor and authority through a good conscience, learning through the study of letters and the power of working miracles through their merits. Thus the whole country readily came over to their way of thinking. The authors of the erroneous belief kept themselves in hiding, and like evil spirits grieved for the loss of the people that were rescued from them. At length, after long deliberation, they had the boldness to enter the lists. They came forward in all the splendor of their wealth, with gorgeous apparel, and supported by a numerous following, choosing rather to hazard the contest than to undergo among people whom they had led astray the reproach of having been silenced, lest they should seem, by saying nothing, to condemn themselves. An immense multitude had been attracted thither, with their wives and children. The people were present as spectators and judges. The two parties stood there in very different case. On the one side was divine faith, on the other, human presumption. On the one side, piety, on the other, pride. On the one side, Pelagius, the founder of their faith, on the other. The blessed bishops permitted their adversaries to speak first, and their empty speech long took up the time and filled the ears with meaningless words. Then the venerable prelates poured forth the torrent of their eloquence and showered upon them the words of apostles and evangelists, mingling the scriptures with their own discourse, and supporting their strongest assertions by the testimony of the written word. Vainglory was vanquished and unbelief refuted, and the heretics, at every argument put before them, not being able to reply, confessed their errors. The people giving judgment could scarce refrain from violence, and signified their verdict by their acclamations.